1 Corinthians 15. Gone through a couple different weeks of why we have a bright future. And we'll continue on here. Give us some optimism. And our bright future doesn't matter what's going on in the world. Of course, there's things we can worry about. And there's things that are worrisome and scary. And of course, there's things that look bad always. It doesn't matter when. You could say right now looks scary, but it looks scary in 1929, looks scary in 1941, it looks scary during the whole Cold War. How many of you hid under your desks and practice hiding under your desks? All right, and it looks, but the ebbs and flow of a crazy world are going to ebb and flow forever. That's okay, but there's always things that we can look forward to. Right now, we have some scary things. The scariness is, I think right now, a little bit the world economy. I think the world's not too dangerous right now as far as, and the news, if you listen to the news and you listen to the negativity of people, it's the scariest time in history for danger. But really, world politically right now, it's not that scary of a time for Americans. There's no other superpower right now, really, and there's terrorism, but it's, the odds of you getting just killed by terrorists are very low. But there are things that are a little weird, you know, a little scary. And there's things with health that are always scary. Pretty soon they'll be coming out with every single year they do is there some super flu that's going to come out and kill everybody. And they'll be telling you that real soon. And it'll kill 136 people, which is about normal every single year for the flu. And they'll do that. But it'll give everybody a lot of hype and it'll fill the news thing for a while. But there's always negative things in your life. Sometimes you're having good times and bad times, but you have a bright future. And you have a bright future if you'll do the things God wants you to do. And you got a double bright future because you're not living in the dark ages. You're not living during the bubonic plague. You're not living where you're going to be martyred, more than likely. You're living with modern conveniences and hospitals and a lot of nice things to help you out. And so things aren't as bad as they could be. And again, I think if you would become a student of history, you'll be more content in the times you live in. We understand that bubonic plague killed one out of every three people in Europe. Imagine that. Imagine one out of every three people in America dying. And they didn't even know where it was coming from. They could not figure out where it was coming from. It was coming from the fleas, but they couldn't figure that out. And just carts going down the road, carrying the dead bodies every morning, collecting them from the houses. We all tend to think we're in the darkest, terrible, everything's terrible on us, but I think if you learn positive thinking biblically, not false Schuller type stuff where you're ignoring things like the judgment of God and other things, but whatsoever things are good, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, if there be any good report, Philippians 4 thinking, I think you find out you do have some blessings to count. In 1 Corinthians 15, the reason we have a bright future in this chapter is because we have a new body coming. We have a new body coming. And 1 Corinthians 15, and I'm going to start in verse 51, and then we'll hit a few other, well, we'll be a lot in 1 Corinthians 15, but we'll hit a few other passages. Verse 51, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall put on incorruption, and this mortal shall put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass a saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? A bright future, a new body." Let's go ahead and pray. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for all that it teaches us. And thank you for the blessings that we can look forward to. And we can comfort one another with these words. We ask that you'd give us understanding in your word. We ask you'd speak to us individually and give us the comfort and the wisdom and the thinking that we need to think properly and to think as you would have us to think. And thank you for your word that guides us into this. In Jesus' name, amen. When I was, I've always been really healthy and had very few physical problems. I really never had back aches in my whole life, never had arthritis, never had pains or anything. And until I was, I'd guess I was 23 or 24, and I was working on the dock, and I was moving a, a giant door. It was probably as high as the ceiling here. It was an oversized door. I was moving with a dolly. I was working on the dock and moving a lot of the heavy things, but that never had a problem with that. And so the door started falling and tweaked my back somehow. My back started getting worse and worse. And it started getting pretty bad for a while there. And it turned out I had three discs that were starting to bulge and that were my spine wasn't going the right direction anymore because of those bulging discs. And I started getting burning sensations across my back, and it didn't go away. It was a bad part. And that was the first time in my life I ever had chronic pain. Now, wife was just pregnant with a new baby, and I didn't handle the process right, not really knowing my rights, I guess you'd say, and figured I can't stop my job, so I'm still working on this job where all you do is move heavy things all the time with my back being out. And I had to sneak around and get some of my friends to help me when it's something heavy had to be lifted and not tell a supervisor because I thought that they would fire me. So I just kept on working with that, those back problems, and they were pretty bad. Those back problems continued. They continued for a very, very long time, about 15 years. About 15 years later, I found a chiropractor and found some nutrition things that make it so when I take care of my back, it's 100%. But when I started having chronic problems, I found out that, you know, this body isn't as perfect as advertised. It gets problems, and those problems reoccur over and over. So you find out that chronic pain wakes you up to the need and to the despite what evolution says, everything is not getting better and going upward. Okay, actually, in nature, every single thing is going downward. The sun's deteriorating, your body's deteriorating, and everything in nature's deteriorating, and DNA information's deteriorating, although evolution says everything's going uphill. It's pretty funny. The balls are all rolling uphill right now in evolution. But you find out that your body is, it doesn't get better with age. It's not like fine wine. It can. By the way, your body can get better with age if you take care of it. You get the nutrition. It's very hard to get the nutrition you need. You can't eat enough food with our food today. But you can find out that you will get better as you get older, and you can repair things in your body. Your body can repair itself. But that's another subject for another day. Eventually, you're going to get old, and eventually, even if you don't get old, you're going to be young and have physical problems. I then had on the same job, but just in a different state, here in Washington, I had a 500-pound crate fall on my Achilles tendon, that destroyed my ankle. It flattened my arch and did nerve damage and broke my leg and did a bunch of things. And so my left leg is now 9% disabled from that accident, and I'll feel that 24 hours a day, and I feel it right now. If I think about it, and it adjusts the way I stand and everything else I do, gives me arthritis in my knee and everything else. You know what? I am not griping of, I got 27. I feel pretty good. Overall, I'm fortunate. I can walk and talk and run, and I wrestled my son last night and still beat him. So life is good. If I wouldn't have beat him, we would still be wrestling until I beat him. I feel good, and thank God for that. And I'm not griping about that. I'm just saying these bodies, they need a complete rebuild. That's okay, because we're going to get that. Death lost its sting in this chapter because we get a new body. Death lost its sting in this chapter. Verse 44, it is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body, there is a spiritual body. Verse 53, for this corruptible, it's referring to our bodies here, the whole chapter, for this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. Death doesn't have its sting anymore because actually death will be an improvement. And that's hard to understand. But when you die, when you're raptured, you will go and feel instantly 1,000 times better in your soul, in your mind, in your emotions, in your body, in every way. You'll say, oh, I feel so much better. I read a book of a man who was a pastor who died in a car wreck, and pretty accurate records is how he came back to life is amazing. A semi ran his car over, just over the top of his car, and he was dead. They had three paramedics check on him, no pulse, and they didn't even treat him for 45 minutes. And he had 6 inches of his thigh bone out of his body. His arm was connected by just a piece of skin. It was totally over the hanging backward, and he would have bled to death if nothing else. And somehow he came back to life and wrote about how he's in heaven and what he saw in heaven while he was there. And for just a short little period of time, it's pretty interesting. But he said the worst terrible thing in the world is when he came back into his body and began to feel the misery of earth again. And don't think when you go to heaven, you're going to say, oh, man, I miss so many things down on earth. You're going to say, oh, man, I didn't realize how good it was here. Kind of like when you turn on a light and all of a sudden you realize how dark the room had gotten. That's the way it's going to be. And you'll get this new body and it'll be a great thing. And just a few points in this. First of all, this happens by either death or rapture. You get this new body. Verse 36, thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened, which means made alive, except it die. Talking about a seed, except it goes in the ground and dies, doesn't bring forth life. And your body is called a seed. Your physical body is a seed that's planted in the ground. And that seed, when the rapture happens, when Jesus comes back, is traded in heaven for a new body. Technically, most everybody in heaven right now doesn't have a new body. There's a few exceptions for that. Christ and the people who are raised with him, and maybe Enoch, Elijah, and some other exceptions. But basically, everybody in heaven is a spirit, but they don't have a body yet because of the rapture. The Bible says the bodies of the saints will be taken up to heaven before us. And because your old body is traded, it's the seed in the ground for the new body. And so it happens in one of those situations. Verse 37, and that which thou sowest, that you plant, thou sowest not the body that shall be, but bare grain, that it may chance wheat or some other grain. And so you're planting your body, and it happens by death or by rapture. Verse 51, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, which means die, but shall all be changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. And so you see, you get a new body either by the death or the rapture. Number two, this body is incorruptible. This body is incorruptible. Verse 42, so also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. In verse 53 again, for this corruptible must put on incorruption. This mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall put on incorruption, and this mortal shall put on immortality, then shall it be brought to pass a saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. The new body is incorruptible, and that's a little bit hard for you and I to understand because we don't understand things not breaking, falling apart. Every appliance you get begins the process of death, and every car you get begins to die. I mean, that's the way everything in nature works. In your body and everything else, it begins to corrupt itself. That's hard for us to understand. Your body you will get in heaven cannot be corrupted. It's incorruptible, which means it can never get old, it can never die, it can never have problems, it can never break down. A little hard to understand that. You could jump out of heaven and your body would not break, and if that were possible. And your body is incorruptible. It's not possible for it to be hurt, for it to be ruined, for it to fall apart, for it to deteriorate. Your body will be perfect forever. And that is a good thing. Next, our bodies differ in glory. Our bodies differ in glory. In verse 40, there are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial. And in this passage, it's talking about how your bodies on earth will differ from your bodies in heaven. And then we're going to find out that bodies in heaven will also differ from each other. But the glory of the celestial is one. The glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars, for one star differeth from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption, is raised in incorruption. They differ in glory. Let me take it to a few other passages now. In Revelation 19, and many people don't understand that in heaven, everybody is nowhere near equal in heaven. Depending on what happens to you and what you do on earth, you get different rewards in heaven. For example, if you're persecuted, rejoice, because great is your reward in heaven. Revelation 2 and 3 really shows this because it says those who overcome will inherit this, will inherit that, they'll inherit this. Those who overcome, they get extra treasures in heaven. So everybody in heaven is very happy. Everybody in heaven has a glorified body. Everybody in heaven is happier than anybody has ever been on earth. Those are all good. But everybody in heaven is not equal in the reward, in their position, nor are they equal in their bodies. Our bodies get glory and get shine according to what we've done while we're here on earth. And Revelation 19 and verse 8, this is the bride of Christ in heaven, and that's believers. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. We find this in other passages in the Bible that you wear your righteousness in heaven. And it's white if you have good righteousness, and that's what you wear. And it's pure and white, that's your holiness. Good old-fashioned, underrated holiness is your clothing in heaven. And so, for example, Daniel 12:3 says, They that be wise shall shine as a brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. So if you are wise, you shine in heaven. So we see your righteousness makes you shine. We see that turning many to righteousness makes you shine like the stars forever and ever. When you win souls and bring people back to the Lord, that makes you shine more. And so your righteousness, your wisdom, your witnessing, all those things make you shine. And one star differs from another star. You look up in the sky, there's some stars you won't see until you're really out in the country and look really hard for a long time. There's other stars you can see in the middle of town. And in heaven, just like in the military, you ever see military, they got all these little things across here, all these little things like this. Basically, military people can look at another military person and know their whole career just by looking at them, by what's written across here. You can know if they've been extra courageous, you can know, and in certain uniforms, they wear every single thing, but you can know things they've done, battles, wars they've been to, different things they've been through just by looking at their outfit. You don't have to have them say a word. That is the way heaven will be. How you've lived, how you've won souls, how you've your wisdom and all your righteousness, that is your shine, your clothing in heaven. Let me take you to kind of scary verse about that of 2 Corinthians and chapter 5. And this passage is a little bit scary about our clothing, 2 Corinthians 5. We know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, that's saying if we die, the context here is we are being killed all the time, we have a building of God, a new body, not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. So we can't wait to get our new body. We are earnestly desiring. Imagine Paul saying this because his body is beat up and scarred. He's been in prison. He's been stoned. He's been thrown rock stone at him until he dies. And he's been whipped. He had scars. He says, I bear in my body the mark of the Lord Jesus. And then put in cold prison and then beaten again, everything else. And he says, we are groaning, waiting to be put up, have our new bodies put on us. And that'll be great. And verse 3, though, if so that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up in life. So we can't wait for this body, the mortality, to be swallowed up with eternal life and true life. But it says some people, when they get clothed in heaven, we found naked. And why? Well, they have no holiness. They have no wisdom. They don't witness. They've not done anything for God. They didn't give. They weren't persecuted. They didn't do anything for God. And some people, will they be glad to be in heaven? Absolutely. Will they be way better off than anybody on earth? The Bible says the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than anybody on earth. That's not a problem. The thing about it is you'll walk around for trillions of years with what you did in this life. And if you've done nothing for the Lord, it'll be immediately known. I want everybody to see me. They need sunglasses. when I get to heaven. I mean, I want to be, whoa, buddy, a little too much there of righteousness and holiness. I mean, I want to shine. Notice Jesus says when they see him, his face is as a sun shineth in his strength. The ultimate glory and shine that comes from anybody is Jesus Christ, who had that total holiness. So in our new bodies, they cannot be corrupted. They're given to us forever. They're great. They're wonderful. And then they glow according. And remember on the Mount of Transfiguration, when the disciples saw Jesus there and they were all shining and glowing, all three of them? Why? Because they were in their glorified bodies. And in Revelation 1, in the picture of Jesus, Jesus was shining so brightly. Why? Because they're in the glorified body at that time. And we get to see them as they are. Now, normally, we don't see them in their glorified bodies. But they saw them in their glorified bodies. And our bodies will shine. And by the way, during the thousand-year reign of Christ, when Jesus comes back to earth and he reigns on earth for a thousand years, we, right now, you will be raptured before then, or you'll die before then. We come back with him, and the Bible says we rule and reign with him for 1,000 years. But we'll actually be in glorified bodies. Everybody else won't be in glorified bodies. All the people living on earth will be ruling and reigning over the nations for 1,000 years. We'll be in glorified bodies. They can't do anything to us. We can go anywhere we want. We can do whatever we want. In the Bible, and we'll get to that in a second. But in your glorified bodies, you can do anything, and we'll be there glowing and doing all those things. So first, just a few things, about this. Our body's different glory. And we said that we have bodies like Jesus' resurrected body. Philippians and chapter, 3, we have bodies like Jesus' resurrected bodies. Philippians chapter 3, verse 21. It says, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body. By the way, the Bible calls it a vile body that we're in. A lot of people worship these bodies, but God calls it a vile body. And you know people who worship, they work out and live and do all this stuff and stare in the mirror 24 hours a day and do all that. Listen, these are vile bodies, and they're corrupted bodies. Look at them when they're 60. And who should change our vile body that may be fashioned like unto the glory, his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. And so he says right there, our bodies become like his glorious body. And Jesus' body, when he was raised from the dead, was a glorious, perfect body that was resurrected and had all power and couldn't die and be corrupted. Let's just look at some things about Jesus, what happened with him physically when he was raised from the dead. And by the way, Jesus wasn't just raised from the dead in the spirit. He was raised bodily from the dead. And every single thing after he's raised from the dead shows it was bodily. And we'll show just a little bit of that. But first of all, Jesus could appear and disappear. And let's go to Luke 24 to show that. We could also take it to John and other spots where the door is shut and he appears in the room instantly through the shut door. He appears and just disappears in his new body. Luke 24 and verse 31. And their eyes were open and they knew him and he vanished out of their sight. So instantly, Jesus right in front of these people and boom, he was gone. Well, heaven's a long way away. You got to be able to travel instantly. And Jesus, you find him after the resurrection being here, then here, then here, then here. You find angels appearing and disappearing. And you can instantly be wherever you need to be, and that'll be great. Verse 36, and as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said to them, "Peace be unto you." And they were terrified and frightened. Why? They're sitting there talking, and all of a sudden, in the middle of them, they're all going, "What about Jesus? Did you really see him?" And all of a sudden, there he is, right in the middle of them. It'd be fun to appear and disappear, and we didn't have to fight traffic, and there will be no I-5 in heaven. But instantly you appear and disappear. So Jesus did that, and we see that. That's just one of the things we see. He's physical. I want you to understand that the new body will be a physical thing. It can actually tangible, physical. You can feel it, touch it, everything else. It's a physical body. For example, Luke chapter 24 and verse 30. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake and gave to them. He broke the bread and handed them the bread. You find a bunch of things Jesus did physically. He ate fish with them. He said, "Poke your hands into my hands and side." He did a bunch of things physically with them. Your new body will be a physical body. Heaven is not an ethereal, unreal place. Jesus said, "I go to prepare a place for you." And heaven has many physical characteristics. And Revelation 2 and 3, again, will tell you about it. Revelation 21 will tell you it's a physical place with physical things. There's a river there. There's a throne. There is trees there. And there's a bunch of things there. It's described. When you get to heaven, it's not like you just float around in an ethereal state of being. You are physically alive forever in a physical body. And Jesus' body was physical. He ate. He broke bread. He gave it to them. And all of those things happen. Next, they eat. They eat in heaven. And verse 43, and he took it and did eat before them. I'm excited about that. In heaven, you get to eat. I like to eat. I mean, there's some people who eat because they have to. There's some people who eat because I got to eat. But then there's others, us, who like eating. And we think eating's good. When I walked in the room this morning, it still smelled like bacon from yesterday. And that is a church atmosphere that'll make you like it. Bacon smell, and it was warm enough. And so I like to eat a lot. And I keep it under control. I try to. I try to make it so food doesn't control me. But eating is a wonderful, wonderful thing. And in heaven, we get to eat. Jesus ate here. We get physical bodies. And I don't think you see the joy in this. And there's a lot of eating in heaven. So I'm going to show you sinners some truth about this stuff, amen? And Revelation 2. How many of you are like me? You like to eat. All right. Rest you skinny folks. The righteous shall be made fat, the Bible says. And Revelation 2. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh, will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. So there we are, eating in heaven. And verse 17, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh, will I give to eat of the hidden manna. And I will give him a white stone, and with a new name written. They eat of the hidden manna. I bet it's going to be pretty good. Food in heaven is good. Food on earth is good, and this is a corrupt world where everything's fallen. So what must be food in heaven like? Man, I bet you not only is it delicious, but I bet it's no calories, no cholesterol. You can eat as much as you want. And that'd be awesome. Old heaven's buffet. And it'll be awesome. And free, Revelation 22. The gluttony we do have to be careful of. And it is true, gluttony is a sin. But in heaven, we get this glorified food. Verse 14, blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and enter into the through the gates into the city. And so they get to be part of the tree of life and have a partake in that. Revelation 19, when Jesus raptures us in verse 7, it says, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. And he said unto me, right, blessed are they which are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said unto me, these are the true saints of God. The 7 years, it's called a marriage supper. And they used to have marriage suppers. When people got married, you had a big feast. And there's marriage suppers in the Bible. So, by the way, it took me a while to figure out what supper was until I got Southern roommates. And we had all these convoluted conversations. I'm eating supper. What's supper? It's what you eat at night. I said, oh, dinner. No, dinner's in the afternoon. And it was very confusing. We tried to figure out. So I'm going to go eat dinner. It's too early. It's too early for dinner. And it was very confusing. What do you do, breakfast? How do you do it? What is it, Southerners? Is it breakfast, dinner, supper? Or breakfast, lunch, supper? And you have those, the supper time. But in heaven, we have the marriage supper of the Lamb. And we get to sit there and eat and have that. I think that'd be a good tradition, by the way, for Christians to get back to. They had marriage suppers in the Bible. I've only known one person who's ever had a marriage supper. But But we have a marriage supper with Jesus, and I bet it'll be great and wonderful. So we have bodies like Jesus' resurrected body. It appeared and disappeared. It was physical. It ate, and all these different things. Because of this, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15, O death, where is thy sting? Grave, where is thy victory? Our bodies will be new. I don't know what age you're at when you go to heaven. I don't know if it changes depending on who you are, when you got saved or when you died. I don't think we know that. It doesn't tell us. There's some mysteries there. But we do know it's going to be great to get the new body. And it's going to be great. And so you know what? If your body is breaking down now or you had some physical problems, hey, don't get too stressed out. You got a new body coming. You're driving an older car, but you got a new car coming. And that's a great thing. I just think of the things we won't suffer anymore. No more tiredness. I hate being tired. This morning when I woke up, my shoulder was just aching and just slept on it wrong. And I don't know, when as a kid, I didn't have these, I slept on it wrong things. But now I get these things where I slept my neck or my shoulder or whatever. And you wake up. No more headaches. No more migraines. No more allergies. No more aches and pains. No more arthritis. No more stomach aches. What else are you looking forward to in the new body? What else, what other things will you not have anymore? Anybody? What are you looking forward to most in the new body as far as physically? What you won't suffer anymore, Mark?
Being able to stretch.
Being able to stretch. Okay. Yes, anybody else?
Being able to
see clearly. That's good.
Hair.
That's right. I think everybody in heaven is perfect, so they're bald. But what else do we have? And anybody else? New things in your new body. What are you looking forward to in the new body? Move around efficiently.
Touch your toes.
I remember those days. And it'd be nice, won't it? Get up in the morning and you'll be one of those evil people who hop up in the morning and just are wide awake. Maybe in heaven we won't have to go through the battle in the morning of getting up and hitting this snooze button four times and then crawling out of bed. And you know what? The great thing about it is no one you love will ever die again.
Amen.
There's no death there. There's no more tears. There's no more sorrow. You got a bright future. There's no reason for you to get depressed and worry about all the problems in this world. We have got it made with our glorified bodies. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians 15. So before you get too upset about your physical problems, and I understand, hey, I'm not minimizing those. Chronic pain, I don't get migraines, but they don't look fun. Allergies look terrible to me. I don't really get allergies. Stomach pain, arthritis. I got a little bit of arthritis, but it's totally controllable, and I can take certain supplements, and my arthritis won't bother me at all. But I tell you, when it aches, it aches. My back being out. We have several people in our church who've got the sciatic nerve problem, and that thing is not fun running down your leg from your L3 and L4, third and fourth lumbar. Boy, there's a lot of people in our church who I'm so happy that someday they'll get a new body. And I know a lot of you have miscellaneous things. And some of you, nobody else knows about it. You don't tell everybody about it. Robbie's got a hand, don't you? You got that right hand. Robbie, you got to be careful when you shake his hand. He's got something wrong in his hand there. And several of you and Christy had a migraine last week. And a lot of you I know have issues. Tina's got a new arthritic knee from a fall and a lot of things. But it's good. We'll be getting better someday. Back in 1 Corinthians 15. Because of this, verse 52, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must have put on immortality. So when this corruption shall put on incorruption, and this mortal shall put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, And the strength of sin is a law. But thanks be to God, which has given us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, because we get new bodies, and because death doesn't matter anymore, and because we're having eternity to look forward to and live in, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Why? Because we're going to face eternity and go to heaven and be in a new body and do all those things. There's a lot of reasons the new body makes us thankful and makes us not move. But why? Because we're going to get it, because that'll be awesome, because we get it because we don't have to be depressed and miserable all the time, because we know it's all going to end. And then heaven lasts forever, or this life might be 20 or 30 or 50 years of hardship, but it's going to be eternal bliss. So first, we got that to look forward to. We got the new bodies. And next, don't be moved. Because why? Because what you do right now, you inherit for eternity. So give everything. And by the way, if you have to give your body to be burned, you have to give your body to be sacrificed. Your body is sacrificed and hurting and in pain. And for the cause of Christ, you go through great suffering. Don't worry. God will make it up in a new body. So be willing. Hey, I know I took years off my life. For about 15 years. I probably had 10 years where I averaged less than 4 hours sleep a night, and I took a lot of time off my body and put a few years on my body and on my face and everything else. And I think, man, that's the least sacrifice. Can you imagine Paul with all his scars? Well, how he's going to be wearing the blessing of that for eternity? It's like a blessing to have those scars. And then thirdly, those who you love and those who you care about, if they're saved, don't worry too much. They're feeling a lot better. Amen. And I'm not saying it's easy. I'm not saying suffering is light. It is. These bodies, when they hurt, don't they? Yes. I mean, they hurt. It is terrible and it's painful. However, I want to say this. You might be at the hospital with someone you love who's dying, and they might be going through, but you know what? You can rejoice, because you know when they wake up, they'll be in a new body feeling great. And it takes a lot of the edge off death. Yes. And we think so much in this life, in this body, in this temporary thing, it's so big and it's so important. And what if they die? But understand, if they know Christ, they're going to feel a lot better than you feel. Amen. And it takes a little bit of the edge off that. And you know they're dancing around heaven now, where they could barely maybe move before. And so it's a great thing. Oh, death, where is thy strength? Where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory? Thank God for the resurrection. All right, any questions about the new body? How many are ready to trade in for the new version? All right. How many of your old versions starting to get a few knocks and clunks in it? All right. And you're the healthy ones. You're the ones who walked in here. So, all right, let's go ahead and pray. Father, thank you for the new body. Thank you, Lord, Lord, if you just let us be saved and have the joy of the Lord in our life, it'd be a good life. But, Lord, this is nothing here. Thank you. We've got eternity, and thank you for a new body, and thank you for the resurrection. Lord, I pray you just help us to remember that and have a little bit more joy and a little bit more happiness because of it. I pray, Lord, you bless as we have the service to follow. I ask your spirit to move. We'd have good fellowship, song, and preaching. I ask that you to give us your power and your blessing and help us to have a great, great time and speak to us in a powerful way. Help us, Lord, to look forward to our bright future and have a little pep in our step and a little more twinkle in our eye, because we have you, because we have eternity, and because we have new bodies coming. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You are dismissed until church in about 15 minutes.